Dark Wraith Publishing presents the Illinois State Collegiate Compendium, Academic Lectures in Business and Economics. This is Business Finance, FIL 240, Section 3 for Spring Semester 2013. Lecture 13, delivered on February 26, 2013. The title of this lecture is The Use of Annuities.
Today, the use of annuities, this is sort of a one-trick lecture, which means that you'll be able to go back out in the snow not too long after this. But I'm going to show you how an annuity is used in one part of finance, and you can do it on your calculator. It has to do with a bond or a note. Now, remember I told you that a bond has, the way a corporation borrows money is that, for a long-term capital kind of thing, it sells an instrument called a bond. And let's say that it's a 30-year bond. Now, that bond will carry a coupon. So let's say that we have a company. Let's say that it's RND 30-year, and it's just being issued now, 30-year, 6.8% straight-up bond. And we want to know something about this bond. Say we would like to know the price of the bond. Now, it's just been issued, and the way a bond will work is that there will be a coupon, 6.8% of the face value. And bonds always have a face value of $1,000, unless I say differently. So we got a 6.8% bond. It's going to pay $68 per year for 30 years. Now that sounds like a plain old annuity, a level one, and since it'll pay a year from the date of issue, its first coupon, it'll be an ordinary level annuity. That should make it a very easy instrument to find the value of right now if we have a discount rate. Let's say that we discount this bond, the cash flows from the bond are being discounted at about 6.6% discount rate for the bond calculation. There's only one problem with this bond, though. Every bond makes 30 years of payments, but the last coupon payment, $68, also comes with a payment of the principal, the face value of $1,000. So, in other words, if I were to draw a timeline, here is the issue of the bond at year zero. In 1 year, 2 years, 3 years, all the way out, there's going to be a $68 payment. 4 years, and then at 28th year, 29th year, there's going to be that $68 payment every year. 68, 68, all the way out. And then on the 30th year, one last $68 payment, but also the $1,000, the principal is paid. That's how bonds work. There's going to be one little modification that I'll bring up in just a little while here, but pretty much that's it. So in order to find the value of that bond right now, all we have to do is find the present value of this annuity, which is actually level, except for this little pain in the butt out here, this 1,000. Pull your calculator out. I'll show you how easy it is to do this. It's really simple. Follow with me. Apps. Well, no. Apps. finance, TVM solver. Now walk it with me here. Like I said, it's just straight up. N is going to be 30 years. And there's going to be one coupon payment a year, so it'd be 30 times 1. Now, I said that the discount rate for this bond's cash flows will put at 6.6%. That's all you have to do, because once a year. Now, we're going to get that PV, price value, but the payments are going to be $68 every year. So PMT is 68. No, the PV is the negative one. Okay, now go down FV. There's a kicker at the end. The $1,000 in a bond, don't forget to put that $1,000 kicker in at the end. So you put $1,000, and you make sure the next ones are 1-1, and you're on end, because this is an ordinary annuity, not an annuity due. Now just go up to the PV, the price value, alpha, solve, and there it is. The current price of that bond is the present value of that future expected cash flow stream, $1,025.85. Okay? If I were to ask for a quote, don't forget that the quote is a tenth of that. So if you quote, you would quote 102.59. No dollar sign, because it's not a dollar. You quote it 102.59. I emphasize that because if you look, most financial papers still do the quote. They don't do the actual price. And you might think, well, I'm going to get the bargain of the century because I figured it was worth $1,025 and here they're selling it for $102.59. No, don't do that. That's just a quote. So if I say quote the bond, you give me that. Okay? And no dollar sign on it. No dollar. Because it's not a dollar value. It's just a quote number that we use. That's all there is to finding the price of a bond. Notice, by the way, that because this bond paid more than the market thought it should, it paid 6.8% instead of what the market said its risk-adjusted return should be, 6.6%, this bond sells at a premium to par. Sells at a premium to par. Now, let me take you one little step here. Make this more realistic. Bonds don't pay their coupon every year. They usually divide it up into semi-annual or quarterly. Real world, it would be a semi-annual payment of half of $68. So for the real world version of this, you would want to do N equals 30 years times 2 payments a year. The I percent would be 6.6 divided by 2. For the periodic discount, and then the PV you would not do the PV, you would leave that one alone. And the payment, you'd have to remember that the payment of $68 would be divided into 2 semi-annual payments. And then the FV is still, of course, still $1,000. But that's real. That's how it's done. It would be realistically done one end. So when I ask you for the price of a bond, what I'm actually asking you for is give it to me the real way. The way it would be, if you're calculating these, you would probably care about what actually was going on. Notice what happens when we do it this way to the price. I go back up and I do the 60. And the 6.6 divided by 2, 6.6, really, divided by 2, and then grind it down, 68 divided by 2, and then take it back up, alpha solve, and I come up, interestingly, with a price that was almost the same, 1025, 98, which would be a quote of 102.60. Worth a little bit more because you're getting your payments in a more timely fashion. It's a small difference with long instruments like this. But that's all there is to it. It depends on the bond. That's what we start off with the assumption. It's going to be twice a year, but I know there are bonds that are doing quarterly payments. There are bonds that are doing monthly payments. There are even bonds that do weird stuff like pay in bonds. Well, you would want to see that in the covenants, but it would not ever be annual anymore. I don't think there are any that pay annually anymore. That's why I want you to do it more realistically in case you would ever have to do this in practice. So you'd wonder, why is my calculation not what I'm seeing happening? It's just probably because of that semi-annual or quarterly or whatever that is. But I'll show you something now. Let's bring this bond forward in time. Instead of 30 years left, let's just make it 20. Let's make it 10 years. Let's make it 10 years until this bond is finished up. Just go back up to the top and put 10 times 2. And then go back and find the price of it. So I do 10 times 2, and then go down and get the price value, alpha solve. What do you see happen if I bring it down to 10 years instead of 30 years?
Went down.
The price went, it's actually, don't say down. What's happening to it exactly? Well, let's take it down. Let's get it down to 3 years left until the bond retires. Go back up to the N and do 3 times 2, my butt. Why am I having... Three times 2. Now go down and get the price value. Yes, it's going down, but what's more descriptively, what's happening? Do you see it? What did you get for your price? You should have gotten $1,005 about. What's happening? It's approaching what? What did you say? Face value. We say the bond is approaching par. Because as the bond gets closer and closer to the time of maturity, the only thing that's left, if you get right up to the day before, is the face value. That's all you're going to get. So essentially, as any bond approaches maturity, its value, its price approaches par or face. Face, we use the term par. It makes it sound so much more butch. Okay, it approaches par. And it wouldn't matter whether it was coming from below or above, it approaches par. So, just as a warning for those of you who decided to brave this cold and miserable day outside, snowy day, I will ask you to tell me some things that were basically, okay, well, what happens if this bond has 1 day left till it matures? Give me an estimate of its price. Oh, $1,000. That's all you have to do. The bond will approach its par value. Now, we're going to turn the problem around. Because the truth of the matter is that the price is going to be given to us in the real world because the markets drive the price. So what we really care about when we're looking at bonds is not the price because the price is there on the ticker. What we care about is the yield on the bond. What is the market saying that they are discounting this bond at? So you have a CNJ 2020, 5.9% selling at $98.85. Do you notice that I gave you a quote? When you put it in the calculator, you've got to turn it back into a dollar sign. But the world doesn't give us things always the way they go into calculators. We have to translate it back. So in this case, the N is going to be 2020. How many years is that out? Yeah, how many is that? 7 years out. So I do 7. Remember that we're going to assume they're always semi-annual. Always. And then our I percent, we don't know this. This is the one we won't know. the yield. We will know the payment will be 59 divided by 2. We'll have the FV. What did I miss something here? Sorry, I left the PV out. The price value. Oh, see, that's nasty. I just used my saliva to wipe that. The price value is negative 98850. Two things here. Price value, always negative on a PV, for gosh sakes. Don't mess that up. And then the turn it back into a dollar value. Always turn it back into a dollar value for using on a calculator. Remember, a calculator doesn't understand. We use a lot of shorthand in our language. And in our math, we do too. But the calculator isn't too thrilled with our shorthand. It doesn't know what we're talking about. Okay, now I can do the PMT, which is the $59, but remember to divide it by 2 because you'll get it in two installments every year. And then the face value of the bond is 1,000, and then these 1, 1, and N. Those will always stay the same, always, with bonds. Now we're going to go back up, and we're going to do alpha solve right there. So let me get this done here. 14 down, 5.9 divided by 2. Price value, negative 988.50. Payments are going to be 59 divided by 2. And now we can go up and do alpha solve on the interest rate. Alpha solve. Here's where you have to watch it. Put it in your notes. I'm going to do another one. We're going to do another one just to try to reinforce this. What you got on that calculator was the semi-annual yield. Go over to the end of that number and say times 2. And there, you'll see that the yield on the bond is 6.10%. The yield was 6.1%. Quick reality check. Was this bond selling at a premium to par or a discount to par? You see it was selling at a discount? It's selling at a discount, which means that the market's saying, your coupon sucks. We're going to cut you down on this because it's not worth our while at par or above par. So that coupon we know isn't enough to make the market happy because the market has paddled this bond with a discount. So we look here, the market said that coupon should have been 6.1%. At 5.9%, you got a discount bond. You got a bond that's selling at a discount to par. You got to watch it. There are traps. There are pitfalls in this, and we're going to do another one just like it, just to make sure that you see everything. So I'm just. Not the interest rate. It'll be called the yield. It's called the yield. Let me kill this thing. Yeah, that's the term we use. Now, there are a couple of other terms which I'll introduce you to later. This is technically the yield to maturity. There's another one on some bonds called the yield to call, and we'll get into that later. But this is the classic yield. This is how you find out what the bond is actually worth. And this is where you make the decision, is this yield sufficient for me? Is this the kind of yield I want on a bond? If it is, then let's go for it. If that's not enough for you, maybe. Or maybe this is higher than a yield that you would want on a bond if you don't want that much risk. Say that again. Not really, because the market has already worked it out. Because the fact that it is selling at a discount means that you're not really getting a bargain because you're paying for a higher interest rate. The coupon is only $59 a year. So in other words, you're not going to get the coupon that you deserve for it. That's why you're getting the discount. So it's correcting itself. This is its self-correction mechanism. Well, I'm glad you asked that because I've gotten that question just a few times and I keep forgetting to mention that. But yeah, the fact that you're getting that cheapo coupon twice a year means that you're buying it at a discount, so you're really not getting anything extra because you got a cheap bond, but you're also going to get cheap coupons off it. Let me do one more for you, just so you have this as an example, good examples. Okay. MCX, and we'll do a 2025, 7.2% quoting at 101.80. Now we can find the yield on the bond. We can find the yield on the bond. MCX 2025, 7.2, selling at 101.80. And all you do is you just go right through the meat grinder. I mean, anymore, I don't even write things down. I just key it right in. Just make sure. This is 12 years out, okay? So we're going to do 12 years times 2. So we'll get 24 of these coupons. We don't know the I percent. We're going to leave that alone because that's what we're looking for is the yield. And then we go down here to PV. Now, again, negative. Don't forget the negative on a PV. And then you are going to turn it back into a dollar value of $1,018. You would actually pay, if you bought this bond from your broker, they'd suck $1,018 plus their brokerage fee out. And then you go on down to your payment, PMT. And your payment on this one is going to be $72 a year, divided up paid in two installments, so it'll actually be $36 a year. And then you just keep going down to your future value. Don't forget, always check this 1,000. One of the things that I've seen happen over the years. You'll have this $1,000 in there, and then you'll forget it when you do a normal present value problem, and they get the wrong answer. Or you'll done normal problems, and you'll forget to put the 1,000 in there. And then the 1, 1, and end. And then you go up here, and you just crank it out. And again, all I'm doing is making sure that you can do these, because I'll ask one of these on the exam. It's easy points. I mean, they're just like a joke. I'll ask you for the price on one, and they'll ask you for the yield of maturity on the next question. It's just boom. All you have to do is like, 20 seconds of calculator, and you got some points. Mom will put your exam up on the fridge because she'll be so proud of you. Or not, maybe. I mean, there was that incident that got on YouTube, but 1018, and then going on down to 72 divided by 2, and then your future value. Go up here to your yield, alpha solve. Again, for God's sake, it's so easy to just write down that number you see. That's a six-month interest rate. That's semi-annual interest rate. You've got to times that by 2. Just go over to the end of the number. Don't do it manually. Just go over to the end of the number. And just say times 2. And you get 6.98%. That turns it into the annualized yield. Because no one ever quotes it like that. It's sort of like, why don't you ever walk outside nude? You just don't, well, I mean, maybe you do. That's nasty. But, you know, it's just one of those things you just don't do. Everything is brought to years. In math, in finance, well, not in math necessarily, but in finance, economics, even in science, everything is like on an annualized, so that we are always talking about the same frame of time. Notice something. This bond was selling at a premium to par, giving us a 7.2% coupon. the market's saying, oh, that's a nice coupon. That is more than we should get. So we should see that the market's saying, we should have gotten less than that. But thank you anyway, we'll boost the price of the bond. So the market's saying, you should have given us a 6.98% coupon bond. But since you gave us a 7.2% bond, we're going to buy the hell out of this bond and drive its price above par. So it's not a perfect check, but you should say, you should be able to look at the final yield you get and say, yeah, because this thing is selling at a premium to par, that coupon's too good. And so that means that what the market's saying is that the actual yield, what the coupon should have been, is below that. Now, as far as trading strategy goes, I don't want to completely wash away what you were asking up there a little bit ago about trading strategy on bonds. Because there are two things you buy bonds for. One is you buy them just so you have that fixed income investment, and the money comes in every 6 months. You get a check in the mail for that amount of money. Fixed income investment, it's kind of like a certainty. There are, however, traders every bit as much a part of the market who play for the price. So that when I see, okay, I see this bond selling at 101.80. I see this coupon here. Well, I am expecting interest rates to start rising very soon. Interest rates are going to start going up because the Fed can't just keep holding interest rates down forever. Okay, so I expect interest rates in the economy as a whole to start going up. And here I've got this bond that's going to be paying 7.2% for a long, long time to come in an environment where the market's interest rates are going to be rising. What does that mean as a trader? I would expect the price of this bond to do through the rest of its life then. If I expect interest rates to be going up, this bond's going to keep paying 7.2%. What would I want to do with this? What would I expect this bond's price to do over the next few years? Come on, what do you say? Yes, it would fall, absolutely. Because if interest rates in general are going upward, then I would expect that something that can't change its interest rate to adapt is going to become less and less valuable. So as a trader, I would say, I would expect this bond's price to start sliding downward. And that's one of the things that we watch out for. One of your good economic indicators, and you don't have to listen to experts and gurus. Look at a bond index, and that's what we'll do in the next lectures. I'm just going to show you a couple of bond indexes to start things off. Look at a couple of bond indexes. See what they're doing. Are the bond indexes, which are sort of like a big pile of different bonds, and then you sort of create an index of the price, average price, is that index going up or is it going down? Because if it is going up, the market says we expect interest rates to fall. But if the index is going down, that's the market saying we expect interest rates to start rising in the near future. So as a trader, I can use this to see what the market's sentiments about the future of interest rates is. As a trader, if I want to take some risk, okay, I think interest rates are going to go up. This bond will fall in price. I'm going to short the hell out of this bond. I'm going to take a whole bunch of bonds that are selling at a premium to par, and I'm going to short them. I'm going to, in other words, bet that they'll fall in price. But if I think that interest rates are going to fall, I'd buy these. I'd go long, not for the stupid coupon, but just for the price play, just like stock. Bonds and stocks are the same in that regard. The one thing that people like about bonds, you feel real good about trading in bonds because, you know, the price can go up or price can go down based upon what the market's doing. Their volatility is not as nasty as stocks are. Another nice thing about bonds is that idea of volatility. Long bonds swing in price much more violently than bonds that don't have much time left to maturity. Remember, every bond approaches maturity. As it approaches maturity, it approaches par. So in other words, as the time to maturity approaches zero, every bond's price, no matter how much different the yield is from the coupon, they'll all approach par value. They'll all come down to the point where at the end they'll sell at $1,000 on the day that they mature, because you buy, you get $1,000 from the company that borrowed. So if I want a lot of price volatility, I would buy bonds that were out there, 30, 20, 15-year bonds, because they could swing in price, and then I could have a play, more of a play. If I don't want to have that much excitement in my life, but I still want to play some volatility, I could play bonds that are, you know, like 5 years out, 7 years out, something like that, so that I could still have some chance for some, to make some money on ups and downs of the bond price, but I wouldn't have that yeehaw of the violent swings that could happen in a bond that's way out there on the horizon. That's all I have for you. Go home.